Unfortunately, our brother Evangel is not able to come this morning, but I hope to do the work of an evangelist. he's not able to come, but I hope to do the work of an evangelist this morning. This morning, I'm just going to continue on what I started with some few Sundays back, which is, am I really chosen? That was the question I was asking us. Am I really chosen? That was the question I was asking. I was asking us the last time I was preaching here, that are we really chosen? What is being chosen? And I started off by looking at the English dictionary of the word chosen, and it says that having been selected as the best or most appropriate. That is what it means. You've been selected as the best and the most appropriate. I remember one of our brothers used to say that we are the best thing that God could ever have. We are the best that God could ever have. And that's the truth. You know, that is one of the things about the word chosen. And it says, having been selected as one of the as the best or most appropriate, Webster defines it as one who has the object of choice of divine favor, an elect person. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I'm reading from 1 Peter chapter 2, from verse 9 to 12. And I'm trying to go through this because for some people that have been here before, they've had this message, they've had part of this message before. 1 Peter chapter 2, from verse 9 to 12. And it says, and this is what it says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people." So many good names. that ye should show forth the glory, that show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. So you have all the good names, but this is what you need to do with that good name. To show forth the glory of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And verse 10 says, which in time past were not a people. In time past, you were not counted, you were not known, you were not relevant. In time past, nobody even recognized you. Nobody even gave you a thought at all. But are now people of God. Not just a people, but people of God. And who is this God that we're talking about? The God that created heaven and earth. The God that made everything that you're looking at so beautiful. He said, when he finished creation, he said, and he looked at what he created and he said, they're so beautiful. And that is the God that you are his people now. And that is the advantage there. But are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which was, but having your conversation honest among Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be good, they may by your good work, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. That's the reading. May the Lord bless the reading. That's a reading for this message. An elect person, as Webster said, people that are marked for favor or special privilege, as the English dictionary said. I remember I talked about having worked in an organization. If people that are here remember that, I talked about working in an organization where we have an accounting department, and on their door they put their untouchable. That's what they call themselves, the untouchable. Because they had a leader who is the son of the owner of the company, and he was their team leader, and he was able to protect them, so they were untouchable. And that's how they walk around in the company as if they're untouchable. But that's human being for you. And I also talked about the Premier League team. I'm not going to say that again, am I? Stop saying it. I talked about the Premier League team one time. Oh, stop. The Premier League team at some point that called themselves invincible, but they are no longer invincible. Yeah, during our Bible study. Pardon? No, he's all right. All right. I'm sorry I didn't start that. It's interesting because what prompted this message was as a result of the Bible study we had on a particular Thursday when we were talking about how God qualifies those he called, and he doesn't call the qualified, he qualified those he called. And came to bear that God's qualification is different from man's qualification. And that was what we were talking about the last time. In the mind of man, for you to be qualified, you have to have a certain privilege. You must have earned it. And that is why we do CVs, isn't it? We do CVs because we want to show people that we've qualified for a particular job. So when they ask us to do our curriculum, the CV for a job, we tell them, I've been to secondary school, I've been to grammar school, I've been to university, I've been to this. And you tell all those stories just to sell yourself. And you do a personal statement to go to university. I remember the ones that are preparing for university these days, they're doing personal statements. Cello is there, and I didn't see you the last time. You're meant to go through your personal statement with me. So, but those that are going to university do personal statement. But that is not the way it is with God. He does not call the qualified. He qualified those he called. And we in the Bible study, we were looking at Sarai and Agai in that Bible study of that particular week. And God, from the beginning of creation, has always wanted a personal relationship with man. Hence, he created man in his own image. And God created man in his own image and in his own likeness, Genesis 1, 26. And in verse 27 of that Genesis 1, he says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So basically, God made man in his own image. And what is that image of God? The Bible says that when God molded man with the dust of the ground, he breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So basically, what you are, your personality is God. Because the living soul, the person that becomes living in you, is God in you. So that is how you are. That's what God made. But we made a mistake in the first man made a mistake, and that was how man became fallible, because we made our own mistake. God gave us an opportunity of choice, but we chose the wrong thing, and that was a mistake that separated us from God and took away the fact that we had God's DNA. The problem at that time was that man forgot who he was, and he allowed the serpent to tell him what he's not. And the way the serpent did it was, he threw the question at man. Did God really say? But you carry God in you. So if God is talking to you, it's God in you. You carry God in you. So why do you have to say, why would the serpent then be able to differentiate between you and God? Because you carry God in you. And that is the mistake of man. That's how we fell. So we talked about keeping man in the garden, and he expected us to keep the garden that he has planted, and in the same way he's planted it to do what he wishes. But he told us not to touch the tree of knowledge and of evil. That's what he told us. In Genesis 3, we failed him and we fell. But the fall did not disrupt the plan of personal relationship with God. It kept reaching out to man. I believe he was doing this because he created man in his image. God was reaching out to man. Every minute, God was reaching out to man. Although we're no longer in the garden, God has a way of reaching out to man. And he was doing that. And when Philip asked Jesus, show us the Father, and it will be sufficient for us. Jesus told Philip in John chapter 14, verse 9, Jesus said, you have seen me. You have seen the Father. So God has always been around you and with you. God has always been there. God has revealed himself in diverse ways. In the Old Testament, when the children of Israel were going through, let me start with Moses. When Moses went into the wilderness to run away from Egypt, God appeared to him in a burning bush. And he told Moses, I am that I am. That's my name. I am that I am. So God was saying to Moses, I am whatever you say I am to you. If you say, I am your God, I am your God. If you say, I am your healer, I am your healer. If you say, I am, and that is how it started with that name, Jehovah. It became Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, the God of war, the God of peace, the God, Jehovah Shalom. It became everything to them, and that was how he journeyed with them. And when Jesus came, Jesus was telling them, if you've seen me, you've seen God. And Jesus, by this message, was telling the disciple that the plan of God is reaching out to men. God is ever close, ever present. And David, in the Old Testament, understood this very well. When he wrote Psalm 23, he said, even verse 4, he said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are always with me. He knew the presence of God. He knew the presence of God. He can feel the presence of God. When they were walking through the wilderness, the children of Israel, they said, the Bible says that it was a pillar of fire and pillar of cloud. Pillar of fire by night and pillar of cloud by day. And one of the things that interests me when I'm reading the Old Testament, the journey in the wilderness, was the fact that if they don't see those pillars rise, they don't move from the tent. They stay in the tent until they see the cloud rise to lead them. And Moses said one thing to God. He said, if you don't go with us, if your presence does not go with us, we will not move from here. If your presence... So basically, they knew that God was there. But still, they went and did a golden image. They went and carved the golden image. When God has already walked with them, but they still went and carved the golden image because they were looking for God that they can create. They were looking for God that they can create. And that is part of the problem in our society. Our major trouble as mankind is that we reflect on Philip's message. We're still looking for God that we can create. We're looking for God that we can make the way we want it, not the way God wants it. And Haggai, which is what we're studying then, Haggai had an experience of God herself. He said, I have now seen the God who sees me. That was what she said in Genesis 16, verse 13. I have now seen the God who sees me. And it was interesting that Haggai would say that, I've seen the God who sees me, because she now feel the presence of, she could feel the presence of God. God was speaking to Haggai directly, telling him, where are you going to? Go back to where you came from. And if you want to learn more about that story in Genesis and more story in Genesis, come to Bible study. I'm going to leave it that way. Come to Bible study. On Thursday, 7:30, I'm a salesman now. On Thursday, 7:30, just come to Bible study. We're studying. Some of these studies are very great, and it's opening our eyes to a lot of things that we might not understand. And that is the truth. Jesus, when he was telling his disciples, he said, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things about me. And he called it the Spirit of Truth. And that's the way it is. One of the major problems that we have is that we doubt our privilege, which is always the problem. We create a golden image, forgetting that we have the pillar of fire and pillar of cloud with us. We look for God where God is not, when God is in us. This morning, we've heard about it. We are his sanctuary. He lives inside us. But where do we find God? God is not in this building. No. God is in you. God is not in any cathedral. God is in you. You make the cathedral, not the cathedral making you. The name on the door of a church does not make you. You make the name of the church. The Holy Spirit of God in you is what makes you. And that is what God is saying to you. The privilege you have, because he has chosen you, you come together as people of God. And we bond ourselves, we sharpen ourselves. Iron sharpeneth iron. We sharpen ourselves by coming together. But right in our individual homes, we are God carrier. That is what we are. That is where we were chosen. We were chosen as people that God has loved personally. And we have that relationship with him. I want you to know that today, that it is not the building that makes you. Because your body is the temple of the most of the Holy Spirit. It's your body is the temple of God. And that is what you are. And that is what we need to understand about our privilege. So when we ask ourselves the question, am I chosen? That is what we need to be asking ourselves. How do I know I'm chosen? How do I come to that position? If God, you see, sometimes we look at ourselves, and this is where I stopped the last time we were studying, we were going through this word. We looked at ourselves and said, I'm not good enough for God. And in Genesis, as I say in Bible study, you will see a lot of things. When you read Genesis and you see the fault of Abraham, you ask yourself, why will God even call Abraham his friend? Why? And we read in Romans chapter 4, verse 20, he said, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. That is the way God sees him. But sometimes when you read some of the things that Abraham did, you say to yourself, hang on, how would that man be said to have staggered not? How would that man have said not to have unbelief? The man was always asking, when am I going to have my child? He was always worried about a child. He was always worried. But that is not the way God sees him. God did not see Abraham that worries. God saw Abraham that walked with him and believed in him. So maybe you are seeing yourself and saying, I'm not good enough for God. No, that's not the way God sees you. God sees you as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. God, that's the way God sees you. And that's the way God sees Abraham. Another person that God sees that way was David. God called David his friend. Hang on a minute. The same friend that God said his hand is full of blood. The same friend that stole another man's wife. The same friend that sent another man to go and die in front of war and told the soldiers to withdraw from him. The same friend that gave a man his death letter. He gave him his death wishes in the letter that he handed over to him. But that's not the way God sees Abraham. I mean, that God sees David. God sees David as his friend. And that's what God said about David. He said, I've never seen a man. The same way God called him, a man after my own heart. A man after my own heart. Because that is the way God sees you. And you see, these people, all these people that I've mentioned, if you want to confirm those words, they're in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, 1 Samuel 13, 14, Romans 4, verse 3. I'm going through this quickly so that I can finish this topic today. All these people that God sees them differently. At that time, even Jesus Christ has not come. But now, you know what God is seeing in you? God is seeing Christ in you. God is not seeing you. He's seeing Christ in you. He's seeing you as the redeemed of the Lord. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed. When you are redeemed by God, you are no longer yourself. All things are no longer going to hold you down. Now you have become a new person. You have become a renewed man in Christ Jesus. And therefore, you are chosen by God, not by yourself. You don't need a CV to become part of God. God has already written your name in his own book. So see yourself as someone that has been called out by God. See yourself as someone that has been renewed into God's family through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. So do not let your past hold you down. Do not let your past hold you down. Let your joy be in the fact that Christ has given you a hope and a future. One thing we should, I think it needs water. Do you need water? Kevin? Do you need water? Scott. Oh, Scott. Yeah. Scott, do you need water? Yeah. Okay. One of the things that we should always have at the back of our mind is the word of Jesus in John chapter 15, verse 16. He said, you have not chosen me,
I have chosen you and I've ordained you so that you might bring forth fruit, and that fruit should remain. John 15, verse 16. You have not chosen me, I have chosen you. So that you might, and I've chosen you and ordained you so that you might bring forth fruit and your fruit might remain. One of the things that devil does is that he allows you to dwell on the past so that you don't bring forth fruit. The fruit that you bring forth is what you, the world will then see. The fruit of righteousness. The fruit of love. The fruit. Because sometimes when you feel dejected and you feel, oh, I'm alone in this world, I'm not worth anything, then you depress yourself. But God is saying to you, that is not your portion. He has chosen you. He has ordained you. All he's asking for you is to show forth that love of God. He said it in that Isaiah. He said, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. He said that you may show forth. He gave you all those names so that you may show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So your job is to, as you've been chosen, don't worry about your role again. But let your life show forth the glory of him who has chosen you. Let it show forth the love of him who has chosen you. One of the interesting things about God and his relationship with the nation of Israel is that each time they go away from God's plan, he will always remind them of the relationship he has with them. They go away from God, but God will always tell them, hang on, we have a relationship. I am your God. And ye are my people. When they've gone away totally, that's the way God speaks to them. I am your God, and ye are my people. Jeremiah 32, verse 38. Ezekiel 37, verse 27. Zechariah 8, verse 8. In those three chapters, if you go and read those three chapters, those were part of the time. There are many other examples, but those were part of the time that God was telling them, I am your God, and ye are my people. But at that point, they were away from God. And God keep reminding them. We all know Jeremiah's story. When God speak to the children of Israel and tell them not to do things, and they were doing those things that God said they should not do, but God was still reminding them, I'm your God and you are my people. So whatever you do, you will see come back to where you belong. So don't let the world deceive you that, oh, you're not worthy of God. No. You're worthy of God because you are the best that God could ever have. You are the best that God could ever have. Don't let anything that's happened to you hold you down. Because that is what devil wants you to do. But when you come into this point where you now know who you are in Christ Jesus, you are going to show forth the fruit of God. And that fruit of God would deprive the devil of having dominion over you. That fruit of God is your right living with God. Living as God wants you to live. It is not their terms, it is not their terms, in terms of the relationship of God with them, it's not in their term, but it was in God's term. He was always bringing them back to the place where they should be, that he chose them to be and not what they wanted themselves. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. God himself is the one that said, he will dwell in you and me. It is not us. He said he will dwell in us. That is his plan. Not our own power, not our knowledge, not our wisdom, not our ability to know things, but his grace and love. And this morning, I have an overwhelming presence of God about the grace of God this morning. And I couldn't understand it, but I could feel the grace of God overpowering in this place this morning. The grace of God. The grace that drew salvation plan. The love that brought it down to man. The grace that drew salvation plan. You were not there. We were not there. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, while we were dead in sin, Christ died for us. While we were dead in sin, Christ died for us. Do you know what that means? That means that we were not even there. We've not even repented of our sin. When he looked at us and died. And then when we repented of our sin, he brought us into his glory. He wrapped his arms around us and brought us into that relationship. That is why you're chosen. That is why you're peculiar. That is why you're different. That is why you are the person you are in Christ Jesus. So don't let the devil deceive you. You don't belong to the devil. You don't belong to your past. You belong to your new life in Christ Jesus. Maybe you are at a crossroad and you're asking yourself, am I chosen? God is reassuring you today. God is telling you today, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. Maybe things have happened around you and you look at yourself and say, hang on a minute. Am I worthy of being part of God's kingdom? You are. Jesus said, I've not come for the righteous, for I've come for the sinners. For those who are sick, they are the ones that need physician. And that is why God came. God came for you. God did not come for those that are playing righteous. No. God came so that He came so that you might be redeemed from your world of sin into righteousness. But one thing He will not want you to do is that when He has done that for you, to continue to dwell in that world of sin. He's called you out to show forth His glory. So to show forth His glory, you need to come out of that position where you are and then continue in the position where He is you are, confessing who you are in Christ Jesus. And I love that song which says, I know who I am. I am walking in power. I'm walking in victory. I live a life of favor. I know who I am. Because I'm a chosen generation. I'm a royal priesthood. He called us by Himself. And He promised to uphold us. Isaiah 41 verse 10. I'm going to end that way this morning. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Isaiah 41, verse 10. It says, fear not, fear thou not. I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
I will uphold thee with my right hand, with my right hand of righteousness. So basically, it's even not your righteousness. So you can't even do it. You see? It's not your righteousness. It's not that I've done the good thing today and therefore I'm coming to collect my wages. I've had all the first class from every university in the world. I've gone to Harvard, I've gone to Cambridge, I've gone to Oxford, and I've got all the first class and I've got my PhD. No. That is not what it is. It is His righteousness. It is His righteousness. So basically, you can't even claim it. So you can't even say, I'm qualified enough. But He qualified you. He made you who you are. So that you might not continue to dwell in that. Because sometimes you might think, hang on a minute, maybe I had a 2-1 and it's not good enough for a first class job. No. That's not what God says to you. God is saying to you, I know you. I picked you. I chose you. I called you. And I made you a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That's what I've made you. And that is my righteousness being impacted on you so that you might show forth my glory to the world. Brothers and sisters, I want you to realize today that you're chosen. And do not let anyone say anything otherwise to you. God has chosen you. But He chose you so that you might show forth His glory. He chose you so that you might shine forth His light to the world. He chose you so that the world might look at you and say, hang on, that man is not worthy to be a Christian. And then when they see the light of God in you, and they see His good works through you, then they say, hang on, if that man can be it, then I can be it. That is what He told us to do, to show forth His glory. And as you go forth in the world, I pray and I beseech you this morning that let the light of God shine forth in you so that the world might see His light in you. God bless you. Amen.
Chose me out of all that He could have had. Isn't that wonderful? He chose me. Wow. There's nothing in me that's good. You're a royal priesthood. Do you know what the privilege is of a priest?
Yes.
The privilege of a priest is to have access to God. And we have access to God through Jesus Christ. You've never come into that knowledge of being chosen, then God has made a way. Before the foundation of the world, He chose you. He called you to turn from the things of the world. Scripture calls it repentance. And to put your faith and your trust, all your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever the darkness is in your life, put your trust in Him.
Amen.
And you'll express that, what David did. He said, he was a man after his own heart, that the image of God is in him. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's sing to close now. He lives. It's because He lives in you, in me, in this place. That we'll have a Saviour. Hallelujah.
As a privileged people of God, can we stand and praise Him now?
I serve a living Savior.